And will you turn with me this evening to Psalm 148? This evening we come to the third of the five great cheers with which the Psalter ends. And our ears are ringing as we come to this psalm, the shouts of hallelujah, praise the Lord, rising as it were to a crescendo, echoing back from every direction. It's the original surround sound, shouts of praise to God. And this evening we come to the third of those five hallelujahs, Psalm 148. Listen, here is God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and all flying birds, kings of the earth, and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. And that's the word of our God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank You that You are to be praised, that You're worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to its setting. And we ask now that this evening hour, at the setting of the sun, that our hearts might be turned toward You in praise and in adoration. We ask that You would instruct us as to how we are to praise You, that You would open our eyes to see Your majesty, that you would open wide our mouths to celebrate Your great goodness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Robert Alan Eustace is a computer scientist. He also happens to hold the world record for a free fall dive, launching from a balloon at 136,000 feet. That's a little bit over 25 and a half miles. And free falling to land safely with the aid of a parachute. Those computer scientists. That's almost the edge of space. I would not like to be that high up with nothing but a parachute to get me safely down to the ground. And I can't easily imagine detaching from the balloon and launching out into the void. You want to say something very significant at that point. Yee-haw, or Geronimo, or in my case, ah! The psalmist, standing as it were on the edge of heaven, cries out, praise the Lord. Because our psalmist in Psalm 138 begins by recognizing, by setting himself in the most high and exalted place, and in that high and exalted place, and from that vantage point, recognizes that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is a God who is to be praised, whose majesty is to be celebrated. Our God is to be praised because He is the only living and true God. He and He alone is the creator of the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them, and He is worthy to receive the praise of all that He has created. This is a psalm about the praise of God, because our God is the one living and true God who is to be celebrated by all his people. And looking at our psalm this evening, we can divide the psalm very easily into two portions. And I take my cue from commentator Michael Wilcox, who suggests these couple of ways of breaking out the psalm in verses 1 through 6. The focus falls on the word of God's law that creates. And verses 7 through to the end call our attention to the work of love that saves. So those are two things that we want to see as we explore our psalm this evening. And in verses 1 through 6, the psalmist begins by picturing himself much, much higher up than Robert Eustace ever was, because our psalmist envisions himself being in the highest of heavens. You can't get there by balloon. Boys and girls, you can't get there by spaceship or rocket ship. He is in the highest heavens. He is in his mind's eye. He is surrounded by the exalted beings that stand around the throne. What are they doing? They are celebrating the praises, the majesty of God. In our psalmist's thinking, he is in the third heaven. That's the in the cosmology of the Old Testament, the highest heaven is the third tier of heaven that's populated by the angelic beings. You'll remember how Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he speaks of himself in the third person. He knows a man who was caught up into the third heaven. That's what the psalmist is speaking of. Paul tells us that when he was caught up into the third heaven, that he heard things that were unutterable, unspeakable things. And we might wonder what it is that occupies the angels, things that are unspeakable, that human tongue cannot express. And to be sure, the angels must engage themselves in many, many things that go beyond our understanding. But our psalmist tells us that there's one thing which they do that we can understand and identify with. They praise God. Listen to verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. These exalted beings are praising the Lord. If you or I were to see an angel, we would be absolutely astounded and dazzled by the majesty of that celestial being. We might be tempted, as was the Apostle John, we might be tempted to fall down to worship such a being. And were we to do that, the angel would say to us, as did the angel to John, don't do that, worship God. Because the majesty and splendor of God far exceeds that of these radiant, unfallen angels who are united in the praise and celebration of God. Don't worship angels. Don't worship spirits. God alone is God, and God, the creator of all things visible and invisible, is to be celebrated and acknowledged as God. Our psalmist, plunging down from the third tier of heaven as he describes his descent, as the psalm unfolds in verse 3, we have the psalmist descending to the second tier of heaven. In Hebrew thinking, praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you shining stars. The second tier of heaven is the tier that's occupied by the planets, by the sun, the moon, the stars. And what are the sun and moon and stars to do? The sun, the moon, the stars silently but eloquently declare the praises of God. There's no room for astrology here. There's no room for worship of those heavenly, those planetary bodies, those stellar bodies. There is no place for that, because the psalmist says they are praising God. Remember, the psalmist wrote in a context where there were those who worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon, they worshiped the planetary bodies. The psalmist says, no, No, the sun, the moon, the stars, they speak of the praise of God. We remember the eighth psalm in which the psalmist goes out and looks up at the sky. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you visit him? When I survey the sun, the moon, the work of your hands, man seems so small. Your unbelieving friends are going to point out to you the vastness of the observable universe. And they're going to say, you believe that there was a God who created that? And your answer is yes. And that vast universe testifies to the majesty and the glory of God. And you're going to talk with your friend who reads the horoscope and who pays attention to the movements of the stars. And you're going to say, the living and true God controls all of those things, and those things point you to him. And they invite you to praise him and to acknowledge that he is God, because his fingerprints are all over those things. And as you may know, Carl Sagan famously said, we are all stardust. That's the best that unbelieving science can say about the dignity of human beings. And you and I say, we are created in God's image. We're created in the image of the one living and true God who is worthy to be praised. And our psalmist is continuing his descent. Now we're in the first level of heaven, the level that's populated by clouds and birds and things like that. Praise him, 148, for the second part of the verse. Praise him, you waters above the heavens. Now we're coming down through the clouds. Now we're reaching for the ripcord. Now we're getting ready to deploy the parachute, because the ground is coming racing towards us. The psalmist says, praise him, you clouds, the waters above the clouds. They also declare the majesty, the power of God, the God who calls forth the clouds. Remember the affirmations of Job, recognizing how small he was in the presence of God, who causes rain to fall, who brings forth the clouds, and all of that created order is saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Verses 5 and 6 tells, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. God puts those things in place. He has ordered them. He is the God who said, let there be light. He is the God who separated the waters from the dry ground, the God who separated the waters above from the waters below. He is the God who created and controls all of those things. He is our Father. And he controls all of those things. And in doing so, demonstrates his kindness. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the sinner and the saint alike, and the saint recognizes that this is the goodness and kindness of God. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. We are surrounded by a creation that cries out, God is a God to be praised. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He is, as Paul said to those Athenian philosophers, he is the God who gives life and breath to everything. Can a God like this be contained in temples built by human hands? No. This is the God who gives us life, breath, and everything. He's a God who speaks powerfully. He speaks to us, not just in his creation, he speaks to us in his Son. The Savior who says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. We come to verses 7 through 14. And in verse 7, we splash down. It's a water landing. And then we rebound. We're not parachute jumping now. We're on a bungee cord. We come down. We're among the sea creatures. And now we're ascending again. The second part of our psalm, verses 7 through 14, throw the spotlight on the work of love that brings salvation. Listen to verses 7 through 10. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Here we are down at ground. We're below the surface of the water. The great sea creatures, the creatures of the deep. They also are to praise God. They also testify to his creative genius. And then the inanimate objects, verses 8 and 9, the mountains, the hills, the fruit trees, the cedars, there they are, each one of them silently saying, praise the Lord. God is the creator of heaven and earth. The beasts and birds, they also declare God's praises. And then the pinnacle of God's creation, humanity, you and me. Verses 11 and 12, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, all people, they have one thing in common, this vast diversity that's pictured for us in these couple of verses, the high-born and the low-born, the young, the aged, those who are infirm with advanced years, those who are in the flush of youth, those who enjoy the comforts of prosperity, those who enjoy the rigors of want and deficiency, all of those, all that vast diversity is received by God as his people. He has, says verse 14, he has raised up a horn for his people. We think of the horn, the symbol, the picture of strength, the horn. And we complete the phrase from Luke chapter 1, verse 69, where Zechariah says, God has raised up a horn of salvation for his people. Here they are, the kings in their might, the infants in their vulnerability. They need a Savior, and God has raised up a horn of salvation. Oh yes, we're curious about the order, aren't we? We said that the psalmist descending, as it were, from the highest heavens, splashing down and then beginning his ascent from the company of the great sea creatures and rising. And we expect that ascent to begin with the children, the old men, the maidens, and rise all the way up to the kings and the noble. But of course, our God is a God who delights to invert the order, isn't he? Remember Jesus' rebuke, have you not heard, have you not read, out of the mouths of infants, out of the mouths of nursing children, you have prepared praise. God delights in the praise of boys and girls. God honors those little ones who recognize Jesus as Lord. Remember Jesus speaking to us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, saying, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Those little children have something to teach the kings and the crowned heads, because the little children know what it is to depend, to lean heavily, not on themselves, but on a God who saves. And what a wonderful thing. It is a blessed thing in our congregation when we hear the voices of the children. And you and I, well, if you're like me, you're maybe a little bit inhibited because you're maybe not the best singer. Our children set us such a wonderful example because they sing out without inhibition. And we can learn from that. And we should learn from that. They celebrate the greatness of God, and so should we become like little children. And yes, God delivers those little ones. He has raised up a horn of salvation Verse 14, that horn, which we know to be the horn of salvation, he has raised up that horn for his people, praise for all his saints. Jesus is the one who has come down from highest heaven. Jesus is the one who has come down from the realms of glory. Jesus is the one who has descended from the throne around which the angels ceaselessly cry out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Jesus has descended to the depths of the earth in order to redeem a people, in order to bring us to himself. And the psalmist alludes to that at the end of verse 14. The people of Israel, the people of God who are near to him, they praise the Lord. Jesus has descended to where we are. He has come down to the misery of our lowly fallen condition in order to gather us to himself, in order to bring us near to him. And the psalmist reminds us that, yes, those worshiping celestial beings around the throne, those unfallen angels, might seem distant and remote, but Jesus has come down to us to raise us up so that our worship is worship in the presence of that brilliant, radiant heavenly host. The writer to the Hebrews lays it out for us. We have not come to an earthly Zion. We have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We in our worship in the presence of myriads of angels in festal throng. We worship as God's redeemed people brought near to God in Jesus Christ. And as sometimes we sing in our doxology, thy flock from sin and death set free, glad hallelujahs raised to thee, and ever with the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit raises us up in Jesus to worship with the angels in heaven. What we do, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, is beyond our ability fully to comprehend, because we unite with that heavenly host in singing the praises of our redeeming God. The psalmist, as he reflects on this great celebration of God's majesty and goodness, the psalmist envisions that great antiphonal choir that Wesley describes in his hymn. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah! Sons of men and angels say, Hallelujah! Raise your joys, your triumphs high. Hallelujah! Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We are amazed at the Lord Jesus' descent, laying aside all the rights, the privileges of majesty in order to take the form of a servant, in order that we might be raised up in him to sing your praises with unfallen angels. We ask that you would cause our hearts to race at the majesty and the wonder of what you have done for us in our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.